Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Swim Community Church. It's wonderful to see all your beautiful faces this morning, and thank you for joining us on the live stream as well. This morning, I wanted to share a scripture. It's Hebrews 13:15, and it says, "Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." And I thought that word sacrifice really stood out to me this morning. How often is it that it is a sacrifice when we come and bring our worship? Maybe we don't feel like worshiping. Maybe it's been a struggle to get here this morning. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's a struggle for me. And so we make the choice, we make the sacrifice to worship Jesus because we love him. So let's continue to sing and worship this morning.
Can stand against the power of our God. love. Here you are, robed in majesty and light. Glory beyond earth and sky. Who is like the Lord Most High? Great is the one who would leave a throne room for a cross. All for love, all glory. All glory to God alone. Praise to the one who gave it all. Name above all names, King Jesus, King Jesus. All glory to God.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in You are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing comes. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you were raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the
Jesus, it is that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. And know that you're the creator of the universe, that each of us are created in your image. And that fingerprint upon us calls us to you and calls us to one another. We realize that you have a plan, that you have given us a purpose. Yes, a purpose in this life, but also an eternal purpose. That eternal purpose, it motivates us, it drives us, it empowers us to live life, but live life in a way that we carry the truth of your word with us in what we say and what we do. And we know we haven't carried that perfectly in the last week. We offer that to you. We confess that to you. We ask for your forgiveness. We understand in this week that you give us another opportunity, a fresh start, and a new beginning to carry your truth, to live out that truth, to speak that truth to others around us. You bring us into a relationship with you, God, that reminds us over and over again that you love us, that you care about us deeply, that even when difficulty or problems or challenge come our way, that doesn't push us off of our God-given path. But you meet us there and you protect us and you empower us. You move us forward even in the challenge and the difficulty of life. Father, as we come and pray today, we have people upon our mind and our heart. We want to lift them to you. You are the great provider. You're the giver of every good thing. And so we ask that you would provide, that you would give good to those that we pray for, be it healing or guidance or provision. We pray for our world. We pray for our nation. We pray for our region. And as we pray for one another, as we pray for our leaders, we ask that you would give them wisdom and discernment. Lord, in each and every day, help us to know we're not on a path all by ourselves. You are with us, and those who call upon the name of Jesus are on the path with us as well. So, Lord, as we lift you up in worship, I pray that you would lift us up in worship, that we could worship you today, Lord, in truth and in spirit. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So let's thank those leading us in worship this morning. And I'd encourage you to greet those around you. If someone has a mask on, please honor that and social distance with them. But I think everybody else would like to get warmly welcomed here. I do want to encourage those on live stream to join the chat today. And as you do, thank you for being a part of our online community. Here are a few things that I know you're interested in knowing about. Number one, right now we're collecting school supplies. There are students in our area that need help with paper, pencils, backpacks, things like that. We have a receptacle in both buildings. So as you bring your donations, you can just place them in there, and then those go to a kind of a clearinghouse area where they get everything put together and then handed out to the students that are in need. Our start date for the fall is going to be Sunday, September 12th. So keep an eye on that. Between now and then, there's a couple of great things going on. Perhaps you're ready to audition for the worship ensemble, the worship team. We're going to hold some auditions. You need to sign up for those with Christy. They're going to be held Thursday, the 12th of August at 1 o'clock, and Friday, the 13th of August at 6 o'clock. If one of those two don't work out for you, just contact Christy. You can get a hold of her every day, christy@squimcommunitychurch.org, and I know that she'll respond to you right away. Another thing that's happening is the Olympic Peninsula Women's Fellowship is holding a dramatic presentation. It will be at the Cole Family Farm out on Squim Bay Road. It will be at 2 o'clock, and it will be on the 21st of August. If you need more information about any of those announcements, check our website. If you need more personal help than that, please call the office. We do have somebody in our office from 9 to 3, Monday through Friday, because we want to be a help to you each and every day. Jim Spriney is our elder of personnel, and he's going to read our scripture passage this morning about Nehemiah and his project of rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem.
Yeah. Good morning. As Pastor Scott said, I will be reading from Nehemiah 4, verses 6 through 14. At last the wall was completed to half, its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired, and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions and attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. I stationed the people to stand guard by families, armed with swords, spears, and bows. Then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember, the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes.
Thank you, Jim. It's been said that discouragement is the deadliest disease of humanity. Discouragement, despair, feeling demoralized, feeling depressed, yeah, those are really diseases of the mind, heart, and soul. And when we're discouraged, when we're in despair, oh, wow, we felt that way in the last year and a half, haven't we? We've been a little depressed. We've been discouraged. In fact, the little uptake that we're in right now, I've seen it, I've listened to it as I've interacted with people. They're just frustrated. They're a little depressed. They're a little demoralized. What next? They often say. We need hope. We need a future. We believe in a God that has a plan for us, and He rolls out that plan to us, and He does that when things are easy and when things are discouraging. What is taking place, what will take place up ahead, that doesn't thwart the will of God. It doesn't thwart the will of God in our world, and it doesn't thwart the will of God in our life. It's true, once that Holy Spirit takes up residency in us, we always have that eternal hope inside of us. We need that kind of eternal hope. We need to trust in the God who can take us to and through and beyond the challenges and the difficulties in life that discourage us, that cause us to despair and be depressed. We need to grab a hold of God when things like this swoop down on us. That's what the enemy said that they would do to Nehemiah and his crew working on the wall. Oh, we'll swoop down on them and we'll keep them from doing what God wants them to do. Yet they weren't successful, were they? There are things in life that swoop down upon us. It's not as though we've been reckless. It's not as though we've gone and looked for trouble, although we do both of those things as well, don't we? Just living life, there are things that swoop down on us. One is fatigue. Have you ever noticed that when you're tired, that impacts both your physical, emotional, and spiritual being? We get tired, the workers were a little tired. Nehemiah 4:10, the workers are getting tired. People have been saying that to me for over a year. I'm really tired of this. When's it gonna end? And then verse 6, the wall was completed to half its height around the city, and so there was half left to go. There's more to do and I'm tired. Oh, that sounds like the last year to me. There's more to do. There's more of life to live. There's more of faith to enjoy and share with others. But wow, I'm tired. I'm fatigued. Life is only half built, so to speak, for us. And there's another half. There's also an eternal portion that is yet to be lived, to be shared, to enjoy, to celebrate. Yeah, it's true. We get fatigued, we get tired, we get a little cranky. We're a little on edge because of that. And it's interesting how that begins to keep us from the better things in life. And to get to those better things in life, what must we do when fatigue swoops down on us? We need to stay centered. We need to remind ourselves that God has a goal, a plan for us. And whatever we're facing in this moment will not cancel that out. Let's see, when we're tired, we have a tendency to get a little more frustrated with life, don't we? The crew was a little frustrated. Nehemiah 10, this is the second half of the verse. There is so much rubble to be moved. How are we ever going to do that? There's so much in the way of what I want to do or who I want to be. And yes, it's true. There is stuff in the way. But God is very good at helping us get around the detours and the dead ends in life. He's very good at moving things as well when they need to be moved. And isn't it true in our frustration, we give up before success comes? Frustration gets us dropping out before the end of the race, before things are completed, before God has a chance to act in you and through you and around you. Yeah, it's amazing how frustration swoops down on us. It gets us retreating instead of advancing. So when we're fatigued and when we're frustrated, we have a tendency to become a little fatalistic. I've heard a lot of fatalistic people in the last year and a half. It's never going to be like it used to be. Well, life's never been the way it used to be. Right? The good old days, well, they're old and they weren't that good. They had their challenges too, didn't they? Every person, every situation and setting in life, there's always a challenge to be dealt with. And I'm like you, it's a little scary. It startles me when something swoops down on me. And it's easy to become fatalistic. Again, it's amazing how when we're tired and we're frustrated, we don't think anything good's going to happen anymore. We're stuck right here, and that's just the way it's going to be. Yet, if we become students of history, we know that that's just not the case. If we become students of Nehemiah, we know that that's not the end of the story, is it? Verse 10, we will never be able to build the wall by ourselves. Well, I hope you don't feel alone in your life. Sometimes we do feel alone in our life. We feel like, oh, I'll never succeed by myself. And you know, most of the time, you won't. In fact, I know this about what God calls us to do. Whatever God calls us to do, the big thing that God calls us to do, we will never accomplish that on our own. We will need other Christians to be with us. And the other thing that is true is it won't just be a human effort, even a group human effort. It will only be accomplished if God is present and blesses it and empowers it. See, when we're swooped down upon, we have a tendency to just close up, draw in, retreat. And we ought to feel a little, fatigued and frustrated and a little fatalistic about that, because now we feel as though living life is all up to us. And don't misunderstand me. Yeah, you got to live your life. But see, there are two great commandments for a reason. When we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that positions us for God to empower us. It positions us for God to lead us, especially when there are dead ends and detours in life. But we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. No, we're bonded to God, but we're bonded to one another. And there is a synergism that happens. There's this larger thing that happens when there are two or more together calling upon God's name. And therefore, we're really never by ourselves, are we? We always have the presence and the empowering of God. And God always calls someone to come to our side and encourage us and be our cheerleader. Again, that's one of the things I love about small groups, is that's your crew. And when life swoops down on you, those are the people that hold you up, that help you up, that push you forward in life. The last thing that swoops down on us is fear. Ultimately, when we become fatalistic, we often become very fearful about what's going to happen. Oh, what's next? What's the next bad thing that's going to happen? Instead of realizing that even in the midst of the bad, God begins doing good. Yet we're on the run. We're a little fearful. Verse 11 and 12, meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what happens, we will swoop down on them and we will kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again. Notice that. They came back again and again. We do pretty well with the first swooping down, don't we? We even do pretty good with maybe the second or the third, but boy, that repeated swooping down, it finally gets to us, doesn't it? They will come from all directions and they will attack us. Now, there is evil in the world and it's not passive. There is evil and difficulty in this world, and it does come after us. Here's the thing. We should not fear. Isn't it interesting when you read the Bible, when it talks about not worrying, not stressing, not being... There's 365 verses that deal with our frustration and our worry and our stress and our fear. We got one for every day. Why? Because God wants us to understand that we do not need to be on the run. And the truth is, things swoop down on us in life. What's swooping down on you today that has you on the run? We have to stop. I love the song Christy sang this morning. We sang this morning. There's a battle to fight. You have to fight that battle on your knees. There is a battle to fight every day. And as I like to say, it's out there, but boy, it's in here too, isn't it? And in prayer, we have the hope and the trust in a God who loves us and cares for us, and he does have a plan for us today, tomorrow, the next day, and all eternity. And so why are we on the run? Well, we think it's all up to us. We think that evil is overcoming good. But we know better than that, don't we? We know there is a death, but there is a resurrection. Jesus overcame everything in this world. He gives us the same resurrection power that was demonstrated in Jesus' resurrection. And because of that, there's always hope. Now, we don't always see it because we're on the run. Yeah, don't be on the run. Center yourself upon God. Connect yourself with God's people. And you might find that fear you have is not as big as, well, it seems to be for you. And it's true, there are things that loom over us, and we're afraid that they will swoop down on us. Yet not everything we worry about comes true. In fact, very little that we really worry about actually comes true in our life. But boy, when it's swooping down, we're ducking. We're on the run. We're a little afraid. Yeah, it's true. We get tired. We get fatigued. That gets us a little frustrated. The more frustrated we become, the more fatalistic we become. And then in our fatalism, fear starts to be the prominent dynamic and emotion in our life. Well, when something swoops down on you, how are you to duck and cover, get out of the way, and move on? Three things that we learn in this scripture passage. Number one is we just need some rest. Verse 16. But from then on, only one half of my men worked while the other half stood guard. Those that stood guard were actually resting while the other men worked. And the idea that we can't work all the time, you know how that goes. Have somebody work 7 days in a row, week after week after week, and then have another group work 6 out of every 7 days, take 1 day to rest, and guess who produces the most? Those that had rest. Those that had rest. In fact, if you were listening along the way in the Olympics, you heard about several athletes who were injured. And they said, the good thing about that injury is it caused me to rest. I couldn't work out every day. And in the end, that rest was what? Very good for me. David says in the Psalms, you know, really, what good does it do if I work from dawn to dusk every day? Yeah, it's not good for us. Why? Well, it fatigues us. It frustrates us. It makes us a little fatalistic. It causes fear to replace the hope and the trust that we have in God. Number two, what we could use is we could use a little reorganization in our life. Can't we? Verse 13, I stationed people to stand guard by families. Now, there was a system for people by families standing guard because half of the men worked and half were stationed on guard. And so that meant there had to be a little organization about how things were going to go in life. And some are very organized, maybe a little too organized. Some are not organized enough. And when you need a little reorganization, it's not that you're doing bad things. You're doing good things. You're just not doing them in a good way, in a good manner. Now, don't misunderstand me. I get it. There are some people who are very spontaneous. That's not me. And then there are people who are highly organized. I'm linear, sequential. It doesn't mean I'm not up for doing something, but, well, I'll have to check my schedule. Why? Because I have a schedule. I have a schedule every day. When I'm on vacation, I still have a schedule in my mind. In fact, I know I'm on vacation, really on vacation, when I can't remember what day of the week it is. The rest of the time, I'm going, oh, it's 10 o'clock on Tuesday, I should be in this meeting. Oh, it's 3 o'clock on Wednesday, I should be doing this. Why? Because, yes, my week has a rhythm because my largest project, so to speak, is preaching to you every Sunday morning. And so some things have to happen. This just doesn't come to me in the middle of the night. Why? Because I'm linear sequential. So, a little reorganization, some goals with a flow. And here's the neat thing. They guarded by family. And we need a family. In fact, even as we organize our life, especially as we deal with difficulties and challenges in life, we need some other people around us. I've learned a lot of things about being a good linear sequential person from other people who are great leaders. I mean, I'm willing to beg, borrow, and steal from anybody that knows what they're doing. God has some organization in mind for all of us. And we should look at that, especially if we're feeling fatigued and we're frustrated and we're becoming a little fatalistic. Maybe it's that everything is too big, too much. Well, then we need to partialize it. Visualize it into smaller things that we can accomplish that will lead us in the right direction. Just like rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. The final thing that we need to do is we need to remember that the Lord is always with us. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious. We need to remember that we worship the Almighty God. Not just one God amongst gods. There's no reason for you to have two or three gods. You don't need two or three gods. You just need the Almighty God. And He's the one that boundaries everything in this world, everything in your world. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when we're tired, and when we're frustrated, and when we feel as though things are never going to get better, and when we feel like we can't run anymore from our fears, we need to remember the Lord. We need to remember His goodness in the past. We need to remember His closeness in the present. And then we need to remember that in the future, God will be powerful. That God will bring about what God wants to bring about, and He wants to bring about good and blessing. He's worthy to trust in. The disciples clearly trusted Jesus, all except Judas. They didn't know everything about Jesus. In fact, they wondered what He was doing when He would go off all by Himself. But He gathered them together and He declared a truth about what was going to lie just up ahead for all of them. And the challenge was for them to remember God. Because before He broke the bread and poured the cup, He blessed it. He prayed to God. And He was reminding them to stay centered on God. And don't forget, you're with Me. And so on that night, Jesus took the bread. He broke the bread, and as He extended it to each one around the table, He said, "This is My body, broken for you." And then He took the cup and He lifted it up. And He said to the disciples, "This is My blood that I willingly shed for you." It is in Christ's death that we have the hope of resurrection. It is in Jesus giving his life that we have life. And it's true, it's not a perfect life yet. It's a life that has frustration and fatigue. It's a life at times that causes us to lose hope. It's a life that if we don't hang on to it, we find ourselves running in fear. Now, in Jesus' life, we see how life is really to be lived. And in his resurrection, we realize that all who believe in Jesus Christ, all of God's children, we too will resurrect. Not of our own doing, but we only live now and live eternally because Jesus was willing to give his life as a ransom for many. Let us pray. Lord, you know right where we are. You know our fatigue and our frustrations. You know where we're becoming a little fatalistic or become a little fatalistic. Lord, you know the things that strike fear into us. Those things that create a lot of apprehension and worry and stress. And Lord, we're thankful for the reminder that you are building something in terms of your kingdom. And you're building your kingdom in each one of us. That because you loved us so much, you sent Jesus so that we would know that love. We would understand what that love looked like and talked and acted. Lord, it's true. Life is filled with its challenges, its difficulties. It's true. At times we fear and despair. We get discouraged and demoralized, depressed. Yet, Lord, as we grab a hold of you each and every day, as we pray to you each and every day as we hang around with others that call you Savior and Lord, well, we've noticed that our discouragement diminishes, and that is replaced with a hope, a future, a power, and a peace that passes all understanding. Jesus, thanks for loving us. Thank you for giving each one of us a plan and a purpose that's fashioned just for us. And Lord, one day we will gather together around the banquet table in heaven and we'll remember all of these Lord's Suppers that we've celebrated. Jesus, we pray all these things in your name. Amen. And so, when things swoop down on you, just remember that God is building something in you and through you. That he is about expanding and enriching his kingdom, and he calls us to be one of the builders of his kingdom this day and every day we have on this planet. And that will be celebrated when we're all together in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together. I Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you and praise you for taking away our debt, for making us clean, making us right with you. Only you could do it. And we just give you the praise and the honor and the glory this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us. It was wonderful to see you all. God bless you as you go out this week. See you next Sunday.